Welcome all to the February meeting of the Ottawa PCS Group. As is normal, the first order of business at the February meeting is our annual general meeting. We'll probably spend about 10 or 15 minutes on that. Everybody should be seeing on the slide right now my screen share for AGM February 8th. And so we will go ahead and get started with that. So let me do. Okay, for the agenda for the AGM, we will have the election, or more accurately, non-election results. We'll have board reports, and then we'll have an opportunity for questions and comments from members. So in terms of the election, we had only 8 nominations. There are 9 board positions. We had 8 nominations by the close of nominations at December 31st of last year. And so acclaimed will be the following: Alan German, Bob Walker, Bridget Lord, Chris Taylor, Gail Egan, Jocelyn Edouard, Karen Wallace-Granier, and Wayne Houston. And so just to point out that, well, first off, thanks for Bob Harris for being the election chair. He has an exceedingly difficult job with the last few years, where we have not had any need to have an election, because we never had more than 9 nominations in many a year. Note that we will be looking to appoint somebody to the position of program chair. So as I pointed out in a newsletter article, as well as a couple other venues, Lawrence decided to resign from the board and not run for re-election due to time constraints on personal issues and things like that. So he left board, and so he was our program chair. We will be looking to appoint somebody to that position. For at least for this year, it'll actually be not a terribly difficult position, because we have program already lined up for the vast majority of our upcoming meetings. So for this calendar year, if anybody is interested, please let anybody on the board know that you are interested, and we'll move forward with that. So in terms of board reports, there are 3 positions that have formal reports that are due every year. President's report, which was in the January newsletter. I'll, at the end of the AGM portion, I'll entertain any questions or comments on that. The Treasury report is in the February newsletter, and it also will be presented just after this slide. And the Secretary's report, and that will end up being in the March newsletter. Newsletter. So, a year, and Alan has asked.
Okay, thanks. So, Chris, if you can go to the next slide. We're talking about the last fiscal year, which is the calendar year. I would like to show this one, which is basically the big, I call it the big picture. It's the last 5 years, big numbers. So, you may notice the green is income, and you can maybe see that has been steadily declining over the years. The red is expenses, and that's a bit up and down, but in the last few years it's been increasing. But the good news is we still have lots of assets, lots of money in the bank, which are the big yellow bars at the back. So if we go to the next slide, we'll see the kind of financial picture. We basically have about just under $16,000 in cash. And in the last fiscal year, we were in a deficit position by just under $1,600. And if we go to the next slide, we can look at the income and expenses. And you see the various categories there. The big ticket number on the income side was memberships. And although we gave away free memberships for current members for the last fiscal year, the 2-for-1 membership was really popular, and that results in the $460 of income. They're largely, well, they're all new members in 2022. However, the deficit basically results from the expense column there, and you can see that there are basically 3 major items. There's the internet expense, which essentially consists of our cost for Zoom. We have a a pro account for a year. The web hosting, so we have a web server and a website, so we have to host that. And we also have a domain name, which we have an annual registration fee. The second big ticket item there is the barbecue, which is actually a pizza queue these days. And although we advertised it and seemed as though it was going to be like normal, we actually only had about half of the number of people that we normally have. So we ended up buying pizzas based on historical norms and ended up essentially with too many. So in future, the board has decided that we will have a registration process and try to match the amount of food that we buy to the number of people who pre-register. And the final item there is the meeting expenses. And that is essentially the cost of speakers' gifts, which are gift cards from Amazon. So those are for external speakers to the club and also for speakers who are non-board members. So the bottom line there is almost $1,600 in the red, but the board is well aware that we were going to do that. We have the capital assets. We have a financial plan that says we want to reduce those, the amount of cash on hand. And by giving away free memberships and compensating our speakers reasonably well, still not enormously well, and we think that's a good way to use the club's money. So if we go to the final slide, that's the big picture again. So again, you can see that income was down, expenses were up, but we still have $16,000 in the bank. So we're in super good financial shape. And that's it for the financial report.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. So I am now setting it so that people can unmute themselves. So if you want to, if you have any questions or comments you want to make, you can unmute yourself or you can put it into the chat window, and we will keep an eye on the chat for any questions or comments. So we'll leave that open and see if anybody has anything. We'll give it another minute.
Thanks all, and thank you, Alan, for the report.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Any other comments or questions? You can always hit up anybody on the board at any time if you do have questions. We're all very available. Our contact information is on the website. But if there was anything specific in particular, I guess, for the two reports that have been out from the board, either my president's report or Alan's treasurer's report, that you wanted to address now. Going, and gone. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending the annual general meeting. So now I'm going to do another mute all without the ability for you to unmute yourself. And I'm going to stop my share. And Serge Eric, you'll have to unmute yourself now as well as bring up your deck. And while you're doing that, I am going to just introduce our speaker for this evening. So Serge Eric Dario is a member of the Ottawa Peace User Group, and he's a great fan of using freeware or various forms of stuff that doesn't have to be paid for, but he is very careful not to break the law when it comes to that. So he's going to fill in to us tonight how we can take advantage of that and you know, fill our coffers with useful software and how to do it safely. So with that, I will turn it over to Serge Eric for tonight's presentation. Take it away.
Thank you, Chris. Everybody can hear me well?
Yes, we can.
All right. Everybody sees the first...
Yep. Oh, we lost your share. I can't hear you. You're muted as well there, Sergeric. So you're muted and you're no longer sharing. There, you're unmuted.
Okay. And let's see if I can share this again. I don't know where it left.
And there, we see your slide again. Yep.
All right. Oh, okay. Good. So today we're going to talk how to get paid software for free and totally legally. All the software you see at the top here, I had a chance to get and most of them for one. And at the bottom here, I'm just showing this. It's not a free software. I use
Oh. Sergeric, you're muted again, and we lost your share. There, you're unmuted.
How about now?
It's saying it's starting your screen sharing, but it's not showing up. You want me to share your deck from my end?
Okay, sure, I guess, yes.
Okay, let me just get a hold of it. Let me make sure that, wrong file. Okay. Make sure we're doing it. All right. Set up. Okay. So I will share that. Okay. So just tell me when you want to advance slides.
We're not seeing your screen, Chris.
There
we are.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sharing. So now, Sergeric, have we lost your... Have we lost Sergeric totally? I think we've lost Sergeric totally.
And we're looking at your PowerPoint in regular view, too.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that I can fix. yeah, but I think, oh, there's Sergeric is back. Let me make you co-host. Yes. Okay, so Sergeric, you can unmute yourself now. Sergeric, I'm showing you is still muted. There we go. Okay. You're back.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's a bit difficult because I don't have the presenter's screen now. I don't know what's coming next.
So, well, you can bring up your deck on your end. You just don't share it.
Okay. Let me just get this here.
And for anybody who thinks we weren't prepared, Serge and I did a test run on this the other day. Everything was working fine, so who knows what gremlins are hitting us today.
Okay, so let's see here. Oh, Okay. All right. I was saying that I got all these software for free. They're paid software, proprietary software that I got for free through the sites that I'm going to share with you later. And I use on my desktop, I use a program called Fences from StartDuck. And I've had that for a few years now. And it's very useful to sort everything. Next slide, please. Now, this is the outline for tonight. We're going to talk about the precautions to take before installing software. We're going to talk about the installation options, the pros and cons about paid software obtained for free. The main part here is the main aggregator sites proposing paid software for free. And we're going to talk about different elements regarding software. And finally, we're going to talk about some dubious software because we have to be careful about those. Next. Before I start, I'm not associated in any way with any of the software companies mentioned in this presentation, and I'm not assuming any responsibility for any data loss or other digital harm that may result from downloading, installing, or using any of the software presented here. Next. So, precautions to take before installing software. Next. Never blindly download and install software. We'll come back to that later. Next. Update your antivirus and anti-malware before installing any software. Next. Make a backup first. Following are a few different ways to safeguard your data and a few precautions to take to be on the safe side. Next, please. Next.
Yeah, should be on there. Is everybody seeing create a restart point?
Yeah, yeah. Next. All right. Okay. I know some people are not pro restore points, but I'll tell you a few things about it. So always create a Windows restore point before installing any software. You just type restore in the search field of the taskbar. Next. It's the first line of defense and the easiest and least time-consuming way to restore your system when it works. If system restore fails to work, try rebooting in safe mode and see if you can turn off or uninstall your antivirus. Then try again to access the latest restore point and the ones after, if any, if the first one fails. You should not rely on restore points alone, though. So restore points used to work for me in Windows XP. And I discovered at one point that rebooting in safe mode and disengaging my antivirus could give me access to the restore points. So it's to try if, in any case. You can also create a system image. Next.
Oh, sorry.
You can create an image of your computer on an external drive. And for a MS Windows system image utility, you can type create a recovery drive in the search field of the taskbar. The image includes everything, so it includes the operating system, programs, and the data. They are smaller in size than the disk or a clone, but be careful because some backup software save the image on the C drive by default. So don't forget to move it to an external drive after it's done, or better yet, create it on the external drive to start with. Now, the software that you see here, I got for free as well. To-do Backup and AOMI Backup or Pro were offered at Christmas. But be aware that those software are easy to use, but they create a proprietary disk image. So they will be needed for recovery. It's contrary to the recovery drive of Windows. You can also clone your computer. Next. So if If you like cloning as a method of safeguarding your SSD or your hard drive, do clone often, as most recent files and programs will obviously not be found on an older clone should a crash occur. The same goes for imaging. The good thing about cloning is that swapping the drives will put you back in business in no time. The con is that you will have to recoup your latest files from the crash drive, plus you will not be able to recoup your latest installed programs. So note that most of the time when a computer crashes, it's the operating system and installed programs that are affected, not the data. About this, my dad had a crash on a while ago, a year ago, and he gave me his hard drive and I could recoup his hard drive with the recuperation software that I had pre-installed. Next, please. We all know that we can store our files in the cloud, but note that you may be limited in the size of the individual file that you can upload. That is, you may not be able to upload a drive image in the cloud. It depends on the size. So Google Drive has a limit of 50 megabytes, and OneDrive has a limit of 250 gigabytes. And it may be different for the others as well. Now, I was talking about the recovery software. All those I got for free again. And it's a good thing to have them and be prepared just in case somebody, your friend, gives you a drive to recoup stuff on it. And in case you lose your data, your hard drive, you have a crash. So you can install those on the USB drive or externally on another drive. But bear in mind that this type of software are data recovery software. They mainly cover photos, documents, music files, hundreds of file types actually, but not install program, not entire drives, and not systems. Another way to prepare yourself for the worst is you can use a reboot to restore software, which are called snapshot software. So with this kind of software, any change you made that are accidental or malicious are reversed on reboot. Now, there's a freeware out there that's called Reboot Restore RX that can do the job. There's also a pro version of that. There's Deep Freeze that is a paid software that I like because it Deep Freeze, it's expensive. It's about $70 Canadian. But it creates a separate partition on your hard drive or your SSD. And this is not affected by the rebooting. So you can save things along the way on this separate partition. And then there's Shadow Defender. And Shadow Defender, the good thing about it is, next, it's offered occasionally for free for 1 year through the site I'm going to show you. Next. I haven't used this, the virtualization software, but this is a Hyper-V from Microsoft, and I got this information from the Microsoft website. Next. You can test software on a virtual operating system on a single desktop or laptop. Hyper-V makes it very easy to create and remove different operating systems within Windows. Next. And you can run software that require an older version of Windows. Say you have software that you used to run on XP, you can load XP in there and run your software on there. Important, you have to learn how to, when you deal with the software sites I deal with, I always read the reviews about the software before I download. So you're not sure about a software, go online and read the review before installing it. As a matter of fact, this is the best practice that everyone should adopt when dealing with software, meaning a lot of software. Investigate the software and the software developer or company and their reputation. Some reviews can be deceitful, as we know. If the reviewer has been given a free version of the software, he might be inclined to do a nice review of the software. So it's good to see, to read many reviews, especially those from reputable PC magazines. That's a good, or in forums. Next. Scan downloaded files for malware. Always scan the .exe file for you downloaded with your antivirus and anti-malware and or, before installing the program. Next. Personally, I have Bitdefender. I'm very happy with it. I used to be a fan of GData, and I've turned to Bitdefender and also Malwarebytes. Note that when you install Bitdefender, Bitdefender doesn't want you to install Malwarebytes, but I'll show you down the road, down the slides, that it's important to have both, and they don't interfere with each other. Also important, always use VirusTotal. VirusTotal is a, now it's a Google web-based scanning service that utilizes over 70 antivirus scanners to extract signals from uploaded content. And VirusTotal tells the user whether they have submitted a malicious file and will also display each engine's detection label. Next. Here's an example. With VirusTotal, you can upload the .exe file, and also you can upload the URL, the IP address, the domain, or file hash. Next. Note that you're limited to 32 megabytes for VirusTotal, but there's a way on the website to request an up to 200 megabytes file to be uploaded. So, all right. But can you go back once? Yeah, so you get the results here. You see the results are green. Next. Bear in mind, though, that nothing is fail-safe. Even though it's green here, next. When I uploaded the www.idlshare.net, it was not flagged in any way by VirusTotal, but the website is blocked by both Malwarebytes and Bitdefender due to riskware, so it's preventing access to the download location. Next. So despite the good ratings, as you can see here on giveaway of the day, which I'm going to talk later, it's got 55 good ratings versus 5. IDLShare VideoGo is a no-go for me. Next. Now, installation options, we have the general ones that come up regularly. You can choose between 32 and or 64 bits if it's offered. It depends on your needs or your PC. And normally you choose local installation on C. And sometimes we get offered a portable version as well, which you can install on a USB. I suggest if you do get offered the portable as well to do install it on both your local drive and your USB. Next. That being said, you can install the software anywhere you want. It doesn't have to be on the C necessarily. For instance, I installed the recuperation software on a 128 megabytes little drive that I have. So you're not stuck with the C to install software. Next. General option. You either install for the current user, which is my case. People with family can install for all users of this computer. The wording varies depending on the software. And the last choice you have, I believe, is for networks. The location now, that's important as well. Next. So program files are 64-bit programs, and program files times 86 are a 32-bit program. Next. Very often we get offered to install with the company name. I usually remove the company name. I don't have any use for that, and it's easier for me to recognize the software without a company name in my list, so that's what I do. Next. And then you have the apps that install in app data, local or roaming, I think. Next. Everybody's familiar with the desktop icons, and everybody's familiar with the start menu icons, like a group. Next. So we get offered sometimes to create one or add one, or sometimes don't create one, or that's it. Next. Quick launch option and taskbar options. On the left, you have all the different taskbars from the different Windows systems. And we get offered to add or create a quick launch shortcut or icon, and we get offered to pin it to the taskbar. Next. So the difference is this. Quick launch is a section of the Windows taskbar that enables user to launch programs without having to locate them in the start menu. The quick launch area is located next to the start button, and the quick launch programs are pinned to the taskbar. So whenever you start your Windows, if you pin one there, it will be there when you start your Windows. I'm mentioning all these. It's a lot of things that people know, but with dealing with so many software, there's so many places that those programs install things. You have to be careful what is installed where. So notification area, next. So this is the notification area in some websites, and some other websites include all the leftover on the right, because the 12 that appears there is also a notification. So depending on the site you look at, they will consider it either full or not full. And if you click on the chevron is up, next, you get to the what's called the overflow area. So it's a section of the notification area, specifically called overflow area. Now, what does it mean if you run a program automatically when Windows starts? If you tick that option, next, it means that the program icon will be added to the overflow area, and the program will start with Windows and will run in the background at all times. So the more programs you have in the overflow or notification area, the slower the boot time will be. So you have to, next. Too many programs running in the background also drain the battery for laptops, waste bandwidth, and use many system resources. So you have to try to limit them. One thing I have to mention here, you see the icon, the shield there, that's from Windows. This is a Windows 11 system. And the second icon, yes. And you have the Acronis icon right below on the left. Yeah. Acronis True Image, which is a software to make images of your hard drive. There's a compatibility conflict for those who use Acronis. It's compatibility conflict between Acronis and Windows 11. And Acronis is not working on it to fix it. So just to mention that. So I can live with this, because this is normally this is the only software that is incompatible, but it doesn't affect any of the functioning of the system. Next. Next. So these first two options, I agree with the license terms and condition, and I have read and understand the privacy policy. They're usually a must if you want to get the software for free. Next. Next. Now, this is an important one. On all those websites that I'm going to show you, you have to be careful for one thing. When you download the software, it will tell you, is it with updates or no updates? A lot of the time, it's with no updates. So if you get offered to tick that, or if it's ticked by default, make sure you untick it, because you might be inclined to update the software down the road, and then you will lose the software because it will revert back to trial mode. So it happened to me so many times. So now I jot down whenever a software is there's no update, I jot it down. Next. You can set the program as a default program. I did this for a PDF program that I got once that was very interesting. So I used it for a year as a default program, trying it out, as opposed to my regular PDF program. Next.
Oh, just a second, sorry.
Yeah. Am I going too fast?
No, it's just I'm trying to do some other things as well. That's okay.
Okay. So those five options, including the launch program, are standard options when you install software. You will see them very often. Next. Now, you can associate a program with the dot something file extension. Example, if you have a text editing software which deals with .txt files, you can associate it with it by default if you want. Next. I like this one because this one is polite and it says we would like to keep you informed via email about products, updates, upgrades, special offers and pricing. Please check this box if you would like to receive the information by mail. This kind of company is they're usually very good companies. So I do my research about them and I'm inclined to click this option. Same thing with the newsletter. I was offered MCSoft anti-malware once for free for 1 year, and I find their newsletter excellent, so I subscribe to the newsletter, which is not always the case, but it depends on the software. Enable functions requiring data transfer? No, I will never do that, but you will get this offered. And for those who are not too afraid of sharing or they have a separate system that they share stuff, okay, but in general, it's no. Next. Now, keep an eye on those context menus. Next. A context menu, also called contextual menu, shortcut menu, pop-up menu. It's a menu that is displayed when you right-click on a file name, an icon, a link, or a text. It applies when you click on, let's say you click on file name, it applies only to that particular context regarding the file. So over time, the menu's context menu can become bloated and you may have to scroll down to get to the lower listed items. Do not let the programs you install add unwanted items to those menus unless you really want those menu options and find them practical for you. So it's very easy for programs to add stuff in those context menus. And in Windows 11, I think there's an option where you can sort of remove some of those context menu items. And there are specific programs that can do that as well, but the topic is not that today. Next. That's also important, very important. User folders created in the wrong place. Some programs automatically create a default folder in the documents directory instead of the expected pictures, music, or video directory. In this case, I had two that were pictures, three that were videos. Next. Still there, Chris?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. We see that. There was a delay there. Videos and music. So, and even to this day, I've sorted this out. I've gone into the specific programs in the settings, and I've changed the default directory. But to this day, I still have programs that install stuff in the documents directory, which I don't want to have it, so you have to be careful. Next. So pay attention to the default directory, during installation, and check the documents directory for folders that do not belong there. So once in a while, I go in there and I sort things out. Next. The special effect doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Okay, when I installed WinScribe, which is my VPN, I got this offer.
Oh, okay.
customize the experience, slow down your connection, disconnect randomly, and show random errors at all times. These people have a nice sense of humor. But I got a special deal with them, and they're great. This software I like very much, the VPN. Next. Always select custom installation or advanced installation if it's available. Next. And next. So you see that if I didn't click custom installation, I would share stuff with the company. And I will let CEO Joe conclude this section for me. Next.
Okay, just a second. I got to change my share sound. Okay, so let's hope this works. Oops.
I think we should explore a few
when you go to install new software, Grammarly ensures
you're
right on with confidence.
So I got it opening up in my browser as well, so let me stop
let's
that
explore.
One. Okay, let's try this again.
When you go to install new software, one thing most people do wrong is they don't read any of the actual options or the checkboxes, and they just kind of click next through everything, assuming that they need to have everything checked in order to install the program, which is usually almost never the fact. Sometimes you are actually required to check a box to agree to some terms of service, but a lot of times they'll also throw in other bloatware like, oh, I agree to install this toolbar, or I agree to install all this other crap that I don't need, and a lot of times they hide this between an advanced option setting or option. So usually what you want to do is if you do have the option to install software using advanced options, I would just kind of click that, and usually it'll just have the default options set by default to select anyway, so you can just still click through, but when it's advanced options, you can usually see if they're kind of hiding anything in there and uncheck anything that you don't like. You might be surprised when you go to install something next time how many of these options, which you might have just clicked through previously, are not required at all and probably do something that you don't necessarily want. When you go to install new software, one thing...
Okay, you want to speak to that at all, Serge Eric, or just go on? You're not muted, but we're not hearing you.
Huh?
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, then. Next. Now we're going to talk about the pros and cons about paid software offered for free. Next. So some companies offer their paid software for free as a promotion. Next. One, for a certain time period other than the usual 7 days or 1 month trial. For example, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, or even 1 year, 2 years, and 3 years, even 3 years. And we'll come back to that later. Now, personally, I never install anything that is below 1 year because I have so many pieces of software that is not worth it for me to add work. And unless the software is really, really, really interesting, then I would perhaps try it. So they also offer their paid software for free occasionally, which is what we see in the website that I'm going to show you, or at certain times of the year, like Christmas, Black Friday, Easter. And if Christmas and Black Friday actually are the best time of the year to get software for free and also to purchase software at a really, really good deals. So if there's a software you try it out and you really like it, it's a must-have, just save your money and get it at that time, one of those periods of the year. Now, the reason they do share their software with us is that they want you to fully try out their software. And in the end, you may be inclined to buy a license or take a yearly subscription. So that's important for them because the competition is very fierce out there for a lot of those companies. So the good thing about these practices is that you get to try out paid software for free and often without any restriction. And you may discover a must-have tool, and then you will end up buying it. And you get to learn the existence of different software companies and software. And you get to equip your PC with great software over time. I have now, used to have more than 450 pieces of software installed on my laptop. And now I'm more reasonable. I brought it down to 200. And I would say that about 75 of those are really keepers that I use often. And the rest is for trying them out and evaluating them and checking their options. Next. Now there are cons about those software. Next. There is no guarantee that those software have been tested for malware. Absolutely none. And the software offered are often stripped down versions. and they are often previous or older versions. And some software are absolutely not updatable and not upgradable during the promotion period. They revert to the trial if you do so. Next. Oh, yeah, there's a risk of using up more space than you can spare, of course. And bear in mind that the more software you have, remember 450 is a lot of software, the more software you have to maintain. And do you really have time to learn all those software? That's another question you might ask yourself. And there's such a thing as conflicting software or compatibility issues between software. And to come back to the first item on the list, security issues are always a concern. Now, here's the tip. I manage the websites, with the Opera browser speed dials. So I created, with this speed dials, you can create groups. I have one for banking. I have one for the cloud, all my cloud clients and all my emails. And I have one for the paid software. Next. So in the browser, if you click on the group, if you right-click, you get the open actions. And you usually the whole group will open in your browser. And there's an option there to open within the browser where you are or in a separate browser. Now, bear in mind that if you open in a separate browser, I check those sites daily, so click, 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 I open a separate browser, click, 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 I check, 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 yes, yes, I'm interested, no, I'm not interested. And I close that browser first, because if you have any opened windows in the first browser and you close it, you forget that you still have them, you will lose all those sites. And the next time you open your browser, you will have the paid software tabs open. That's not what I want. I don't know if I was clear here. But anyway, if you do open a separate browser with the software, the paid software, close it first. That's the thing to remember here. All right, if you left-click, you get the editing window, which is next. And now this is where I add or remove sites. And VirusTotal is the first one in the list. So it will be the first one when you open all the windows at once, it will be the first one on the left. And so it's always easy to notice. And this is also where I add about half a dozen websites which are countdowns to Christmas every year. And the link is there, and we're going to come back to that later. So 6x24, that's a lot of offerings for free software. Think about that. Next. Now here's the interesting part. Main aggregator sites proposing paid software for free. Next. What's an aggregator? It's a website. Oops. It's a website or program that collects related items or content and displays them or links to them. So all those seven sites here are aggregators. They offer software from everywhere. And we're going to go, we're going to check them out one by one. Let's start next. Main characteristic, it's for Mac, PC, iOS, freeware, ebooks, all categories of software. The website offers one, sometimes two software at 100% off every day, and three or four or five other softwares at reduced price. And the software usually has to be installed on the same day it's offered or within a certain number of days. It depends on the offer. And yes, an account is needed for this one, your name and an email. Next. Here's what it looks like. At the bottom there, you see the free one, 100% off, and the other are on special. Next. And here's an offer for a LaFSof downloader. Next. You usually click here to get it for free, but first we have to check, before I want to get it, I always check the description. Next. Okay, well, sorry, I mixed up the files. So if you click on get it, you have a choice of selecting the $0 or next. at the bottom of the page here. I cannot paint with my cursor, but the other offers would be in the selections options. So I select $0, and done. You get to this window, and you can email the code, and you can download the software from here. Next. Now, I'm showing you this for Alapsa because this is one of the software that has the most description I have ever seen, and the most details. So this is the splash page of Alapsa that we just saw at the bottom. It's got the description. Next.
Okay.
Plus, at the bottom of the page, you always have these three tabs for any software on Bits du Jour. The fine print, next. And this is where, in this instance, that we learned that we can, if we have the software, we can install it on two computers. Next. And this section is if there's a problem with the download, if there's a problem with the software, this is where there's interaction between the developer and people downloading the software on that day. Next. And the developer usually is quite, in general, they're fast in responding. So giveaway of the day. Now, this is a very popular site. It's Windows, Mac, Android, and iPhone, and games. All categories of software. It's got standard one paid software offered for free every day. And often a second one, which is either free or a contest by contest. The software absolutely has to be installed on the day it's offered. I've installed software from giveaway of the day at 1, 2 a.m. and at night. I was still able to do so. So it depends on time zone, I guess. And it's commercial software only, but it cannot be used commercially. Unless you purchase a license, you cannot use it commercially. The website is in 12 languages. And this information is a bit old now, 2011, but it was ranked 930 by Alexa as most visited internet site in the U.S. In 2011. And 19% of are visitors from the U.S. Now, there's some controversy regarding giveaway of the day on Trustpilot. The site is considered as a scam site by some. Some people say that negative comments are deleted. Some say there's dubious software on the website. And some say that it promotes copyright piracy. I agree with some dubious software offered, and it's possible that there's copyright piracy on that website. But giveaway of the day is not as doesn't do as good a screening as a shareware on sale that we're going to see further down. So I would say it's a choice of yours if you want to get software from there. It's not every company that are on there that are bad companies. There are great companies, and I got software that are legitimate from reputable companies on giveaway of the day. So you just have to be careful and keep running your antivirus, your anti-malware, and VirusTotal on those .exe files that you download from giveaway of the day. Next. Here's what it looks like. Next. Rating is good for this software. Give me Space Desktop Extender 1.4.4. Next. Download now. Before we get to the download, this is the description that was below the previous page. It describes the program and the license details, which next. In this case, we get a lifetime license. What does that mean, a lifetime license? It doesn't mean that you can install the software, any version, anytime. It's a lifetime license for version 1.4.4. That's to bear in mind. And it's like this on many websites. Now, this is where I put my email address in order to get the software. And usually I unclick the subscribe to the, I can't read well here, newsletter. And I don't use Facebook for this, so Click there, yes. Next. This is the email I get. I click on the download link. Now this is the page where I get, and I get to download the zip file. Okay. I unzip the file. Next. And this is what is in the zip file. Next. Always open the, that's giveaway of the day. Always open the readme.txt file, the TXT file, because it contains a license or the instruction how to get the license. And this is what the TXT file looks like. And back a bit, Chris, please. At the bottom here, this is the setup file that you would use to install the software. Next. Notice that you have the registration key here, and there's a note below regarding Kaspersky. It's telling you to shut down Kaspersky. When I see this, this is a big flag. No. So forget about it. Next. Next. So I ran Malwarebytes. Everything's fine. I ran Bitdefender. Everything's fine. And then I ran VirusTotal. Next. And I got this on an unknown antivirus. Next. And I look up this file on the web, and there's very limited information about it. But, like I said before, flag. When I see Trojan, I'm allergic to the word Trojan. So even though it's only one occurrence in the 70 websites that is showing here, I will not install this software. Let's be prudent. Next. About Promote Today. This is a very, very interesting site. It's a bunch of a series of forums. It's a very rich website. It's full of computer-related resources of all kinds. The paid software offered for free are under external giveaways, contests, and freebies, and subdirectory external giveaways and freebies. And December calendars that I told you about earlier, this is where I get them every year. Under Advent Calendars giveaway. Next. Now, this is the web page on the right. You can see that there's a lot on there. The second section is the one that's of interest for us. Next. Next. Now, this is the directory I was telling you about. Next. And this is the place where I get the December software, this December website that I install, that I save in my Opera. Next, so this is the subdirectory. Go ahead. Again, and in the subdirectory, there's a subdirectory. This is the one where you get all the freebies. Next, and again, next. Under the second section here, this is where you get all the free. Paid software for free. And one note about this, it's sometimes, very often actually, there's software that's not offered elsewhere in the other websites. So this is also a good source for different software. Next. Now, Shareware on Sale is one of my favorite sites. It's got Windows, Android, and VPN and cloud software offered here. It's one paid software every day. Next. Is Shareware on Sale legit or legal? Yes, it is. Now, Asraf at the bottom here is famous. I don't know if anybody has heard of him, but he used to run another website, but now he's turned to Shareware on Sale. He says, we directly reach out to software developers and negotiate with them to bring you awesome giveaways and discounts. We aggregate giveaways and discounts we find on the internet, like Reddit and others. We do not pirate software, we do not torrent anything, and we do not offer cracks, and I believe that. Next. Here's the splash screen of that day. It was offering a shampoo burning studio 2023. Next. Next. Here we note that the software will be offered for 2 days. Next. This is where you usually click to download the software, but it's downloading a file to a hub where you can download the software. But first, let's take a look at the description and let's take a look at the terms and conditions always. Next. If you like the description, you like the software, you can proceed, look at the terms and conditions. Again, next. And this is where you learn that if you update, you lose it. So jot down. This is at the bottom of the splash screen. You get a series of offerings like this. A shampoo the next day was offered here. And as a matter of fact, it's still offered now, I believe, as it is at for free. So sometimes there's disconnect between what they say and what the reality is. There's so many software, I guess they lose track. And or maybe a shampoo decided that to keep offering it through here because they get a lot of responses. Lots of response for a shampoo is a good sign because it's potential clients for them. Next. So I use my email and not the social platforms to get to the hub download EXE file. Next. Here you ask to enter an email and confirm your email. Basically, that's the information they need. You will have to click something else in the rest of the page, and it doesn't matter what. I've tried different combination, different things, doesn't matter. When you click give it to me, you get to this page. And you get an email sent to you automatically with the license and the download link. And normally, this is where the license would appear, but in this case, exceptionally, because it's a shampoo, it's an online account that's required. So if you already have an online account, you just tap into your online account. And a shampoo is a very reliable company, very reputable, internationally known, and they offer many, many great software. So at this point here, always read the directions. Here they are. And at the bottom here, next, I suggest that on sale that you read this section at least once because it's got information that if there's a glitch or something wrong. Next, it's general information that's very helpful. Next, for instance, it says for some giveaways, we provide you with a registration email and username that you must use while registering and will not register if you use your own email and username. So it's important to pay attention in those cases. And further down the road, we're going to see a software where they use, they supply a different username. So this is where we get to download the hub EXE file. Yes. Here it is. You click on it. It opens this window and you start the download. You can read the description. It's basically the same that we read before. Next. Important, when you get to this screen, do not install the software. You need to scan the file for malware first. So next, very important, you click this box to download it in your downloads folder, and then you click on do not install. Next. Here it is. Next. Now again. Always remember to run antivirus total, your anti-malware, your antivirus before launching the installation. Always. Next. And here's the setup file, setup. This is one of the rare instances where I leave the company name because I have many of their software and I want to limit the length of my program files list. As a matter of fact, a shampoo installs software, 32-bit software and 64-bit software, depending on what it is. So I believe at this time I have four in each section. I have four in the programs file and four in the programs file time 86. So to limit the length of, this is only one company. I have software from other companies that have multiple software. So I for those companies, I keep the company name, and otherwise my programs file list gets endless. Next, Software Shop. It has Windows, Mac, ebook, daily offers in all categories of software. And the web page is divided into three sections, four software deals, four software giveaways, and four ebooks. The middle section is this interesting one for us right now. And next. On that particular day, Burnova was offered next, which is like a shampoo burning studio. Next. When you click on the offer, you always you're brought down the page and always to the paid offers. But next, you go to the tab giveaway. Next, add next. At below the offer here, this is where you input your email address in order to get the software. Next. And you're brought, once you do that, you're brought to this window. And this information here varies tremendously from company to company. Sometimes you have one license here, sometimes there are four licenses here. And very often you have the download link for the software here. At other times, you have to click on Buy Now. Yes. And in this case, we're transported to the developer's webpage, which is in German. Doesn't matter. You just Google Translate it. And you fill out the information. And next, you get once you input your email address, you get the information in your email with the registration, the license, and the download link. And the details about is it updatable or not updatable. Tick Coupon Giveaway is also one of my favorite sites. It's got Windows, Mac, mobile, hot deals, which are specials, paid specials, all categories of software. And what I like about it, just like the next one, it's presented in a table format. Here's the LSF what's offered on this one as well. Next. This is the table I was telling you about. Now you see the gray ones. The gray ones have expired, but you can still access previous softwares that were offered in this case. And this is very often the case here. Next. LSF is offered here. At the bottom of the page, there was this total score. It's strictly non-commercial use, no free updates. And what's important here, we're on February the 8th, and the promotion is still ongoing until February the 16th. So next. And this is the download you click here, and this is where you get the license. Next. And notice that it is a Tick Coupon Giveaway name license, and here's the license. You can, if you want, you can copy this, go to the website, download the LabSoft, and then input this, and then you get a free software for a year. Next. And I like this because LabSoft shows how to, where to input the registration number, the license. Some software, they don't tell you where to input it. They just give you the license and you're on your own. And usually it's under the help and register or something like that, and or under about. And this is where you input the information. Next. Winning PC. It's mostly a PC platform and with store specials, all categories of software, and the software presented in table format over many, many, many pages. So you can access previous downloads. At Christmas, we had this offer of file site. Next. Next. Now, I like this Winning PC page because the information is very well presented. You get the license type, which is lifetime. It's Windows and Mac OS in this case. And just below, you have the .exe file for Windows and the .ng file for Mac. Again, at the bottom, this is a lifetime license for this version, and no free updates. So jot down, jot down, jot down. Next. Now, there's whole series of variations of what the conditions are when you get a software offered. An interesting one is the one in the middle there, which is offered today. It's a duplicate software. You can download it today, and you get a 3-year license giveaway. So just tap into this website, and you will find it. It's offered today for 3 years. Next. Now, the different ways to get the license. We saw that you can get the download link and the license in one shot. Next. Or you get the download already unlocked. Next. This means that the program is pre-activated. This happens very often. That means that if it's pre-activated, it means pretty well that you can install it anywhere you want at any time. So this is very nice. Some companies give you the further instructions with the download file. Next. And sometimes you're directed to a giveaway page for further instruction or to input your email or another information, just like we saw with the German site that we saw before. Or you have to register an account. You have to have an email and a password. So there's difference. Now about the types of licenses, there's a lot of variations here. Different companies call things differently. There's some equivalents and some differences between the same names. What a home license is for a software may be different from a home license for a different software. So you really have to look through what's what in those every time. And there's next. Different licensing models, and the ones that we're interested in are the subscription-based licensing and the proprietary-based licensing. In this case, a Shampoo Snap 14 was offered as a free paid software on one of the sites. Like a year later, you have a choice to buy it or buy a subscription. And in this case, obviously, a subscription is more advantageous because it's $13 and you get to install it on three machines. Whereas if you pay $40 right now, you get Snap 14, and 2 years down the road, they will be at Snap 15 and 16, and you will still be at Snap 14 if you purchase the software. So in this case, if you're interested in buying it after the year of trial, you have to look at your options in this sense. Most companies nowadays, they tend to go towards subscription-based licensing, and this is what happened with Acronis in 2021. They went from proprietary licensing to subscription-based, so people have to buy the license every year now. So that's it. Next. Also, next. Be aware that some software need deactivation before you uninstall them. So say your computer crashes, you'll have to contact the companies in order to reactivate your license if you purchase the software. So next, deactivation from one device allows for reactivation on another for the remainder of the license period. Also, in some cases, which is very, very nice, very interesting, you can deactivate or reinitialize or reset your own license on your own account. Next. In this case, on a Shampoo website, I really like Shampoo. you can reset your license there, or you can deactivate it. Next. Same software, two different names. Next. Here's Doremi and Any Music. So in this case, we're going to talk about affiliate marketing, but in this particular case, I believe that one must be a subsidiary of the other. I may be right, I may be wrong, but I think they're both in the same, one and the same. But affiliate marketing is when you sell somebody else's product online for a commission. The affiliate uses a personalized link provided to them by the merchant that identify them as the source of the new customer. The link ensures that they get credit for the sale and earn a commission for that sale. Next. Notice that Nero, the famous company that produced Nero burning rum for those who had XP before and was offered for free when you got your XP, which is a burning software. This company is very proactive with affiliate partners. So if you want to earn money with them and have something on your website with them offering their software, you can get a commission if you sell some of their software. There you go. Next. Free license for sure, but exactly for what? Some company only give you one single module of their software for free, but they charge an arm and a leg for the others. This kind of software is called crippleware. It means that vital features of the program are disabled until the user purchases a registration key. Now, for this particular software, I installed it. I wanted to use it, and I discovered that this was crippleware. Installed it, uninstalled it the next second. So thanks, but no thanks. And now to common practice here. Next, free download does not necessarily mean free software. So beware of that. In fact, they should have put only download there, but the last company put free download. Now, talking about dubious software, all that glitters is not gold, and that's so true for software. Next, sometimes you have real threats, sometimes you have false positive. Next, what is a false positive? Security programs will sometimes unintentionally identify a program as harmful if it has a code or behavior that resembles known harmful programs. This is known as false positive. Do not install software that you have doubts about or that are controversial as in the forums. In this case, it's controversial. I said no. Next. There are non-ethical software companies around. There are copycat companies, copycat software, ESOS. Which came first? Which one is the best? That's what you have to ask yourself. And do you really want to get to download those software? That's another question, ethical question for you. And you have companies that are steal intellectual properties. According to Malwarebytes, IOBIT stole some codes from them to run in their antivirus program, their flagship program, which is Advanced System Care Pro. So you can read all about it in Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes, if you install any IOBIT product, Malwarebytes will flag them as PUPs, have potential unwanted programs. It's your choice to let IOBIT through or not, and to install or not IOBIT products. Personally, I was a big fan before I learned this. I was a big fan of IOBIT, and now I get equivalent software or better software elsewhere, which I am happy with, so I'm not downloading or installing any IOBIT products anymore, but that's my choice. People have to make their own choices. Next, I've always been on the lookout for the nasty, the real nasty ones, because there are some out there. So remember, run your antivirus, your anti-malware, and virus total. And a few last thoughts, Chris. Next file. Next slide, please.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's the last one. To update or not to update, that depends on the offer again. In many cases, updating and upgrading means automatically switching to trial mode. Next. To pay or not to pay. So with this system, you can continually get to use the same paid software for free each and every time an offer pops up in one side or the other. I did not invent the system, or maybe I did, but I've been running software replacing the license for a long time until I decided that it is time for me to purchase the software because I used it often. But if you find a software, like I said, that you can live without, and out of fairness for the developer, consider buying a license or getting a subscription. So this is what I did for quite a few software there. and I purchase at Christmas or Black Friday. So keep my money for the for those periods. Next. To keep or not to keep the license and installation file? That's another question that you may ask yourself. In my case, I routinely save the every program EXC installation file and license email in a specific folder on another drive for reinstallation if I need to, and whenever possible. Whenever possible means that some software prevents you from reinstalling, especially those giveaway of the day software, which you have to use their setup EXE file. But I've discovered that if on the day that giveaway of the day offers the software, you go on the website of the developer and download the installation file from there, you can, with that installation file, reinstall the software and use the license that you got from giveaway of the day down the road. So it's a bit of a cheat. If you want to stretch it, you do. If you don't, you don't. I tend not to do it anymore. I'm plus sage maintenant. Next. How to manage those dozens and dozens of software? Now, like I said before, I have about 200 software on my laptop. I manage them with fences on my desktop, with Opera browser on the web, and a software that I will be presenting in September. In my opinion, the best Windows Explorer replacement. Next, which is Directory Opus. And that's it.
Okay, thanks very much, Cedric. I'm now going to force a mute all, but I will check the box saying people can unmute themselves. So that will include you, Cedric. You'll have to unmute yourself again. So it's now open for questions or comments. So you can either unmute yourself or you could continue to use the chat window if you want to do it that way. We'll monitor that for any questions or comments. I see some comments flooding in about being a great presentation, and I have to agree with that. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Do you want to unmute yourself?
Or there was a question early from Micheline. She was asking if that method works for all software. And for example, does Adobe Acrobat ever come on as a giveaway?
I got expensive software, never Adobe. Never Corel, but I got Kotobi. Kotobi is what do you call it? An ebook making software. The basic version was for $150. So I got that for a year, and I also got Help Smith, which is a Help file producing web for software for software help file manuals for software. So I got that for free also 1 year, version 7 or 8. They're not at version eight or nine, I believe. This is a software, an expensive software that I purchased eventually because I like it and I use it for different things. Originally it was, I think it's $150 or $200, and it sells for $200 to $300, if not more. So yes, you get expensive software sometimes, but never Adobe and never Corel on those websites, on those free paid websites.
We do have a comment from Tom Tarche, not free but cheap. Humblebundle.com/bundles. URL is in the chat. And I also pasted in all of the URLs from Sergerik's presentation as it was going through. So the URLs are all in the chat window. And anybody who's not aware, if you go to the chat, there's a dot, dot, dot at the bottom where you can actually save the contents of the chat window to a file on your computer. Or I also pasted in where you can download tonight's deck. It's available currently right on our website, so you could download the deck and you'd have all of the URLs that way as well. So let's see if we have any other questions or comments in there. Jeff would like to see us do a something on Q&A for controlling the content of the context menus. Yeah, I agree. That would be a good one because they can get out of hand. As Sergeric mentioned tonight, they can get really, really long. Of course, Tom says that just get a bigger monitor to deal with it. Hey, I sort of sympathize with that.
Yes, about context menus, I have no problem removing stuff from there, but I have always tried to find a way to put things in the order that I want. Because I have said I have a Malwarebytes and a Bitdefender, and they're separated. I would like to put them together, and I have yet to find a way to do that easily without having to go through the registry and play with whatever whatnot there. So it's open if anybody has any light about this.
Yeah, chime in if you have it. Tom has a comment. I think this is a good one. Always add the date or the version number to the installation file, and that's really kind of nice. And name of the program, too, because often you'll get just setup.exe, and so good idea to put the name of the program so it's whatever and the date and or the version number setup.exe so you can identify it later on.
Excellent tip, Tom. In my case, I create separate folders with the date and the name. So, but yeah, I can do that within the folders. We can do that as well. That's great. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I use the program. I use a file name that you can have, like in Windows, up to close to or maybe 255 characters. So you have lots of room. And, for example, when I download PDFs from the city of Ottawa or other public areas where the name is not in there, I actually add the name of the document at the end of the official name in parentheses so that it's easy to search for and everything, and I know what it is because I'm active in cycling in the city as well. So I get a number of Ottawa city documents that I need to relate to what I'm doing or make responses to.
Jeff had a question. Can I install a virtual machine on my Windows 10 of Windows 10 on my Windows 10 machine using the same license key, or do I require a second license key since it is, in all respects, a different virtual machine? I don't know if, Sergeric, you have a comment on that?
No, I've not used any virtual machines, so I leave it to the specialist about this. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I seem to recall that now Microsoft does consider it to be separate and would require a separate license key for that. The one exception is if you have Pro or Education, you can use their sandbox, which includes a licensed version of Windows 10. It works with Windows 11 machines as well. But I think they now consider it, I think it used to be that you could install multiple copies onto the same computer, different directories or virtual machines, and it was okay. But I think starting at Windows 10, they now consider it to be a separate license required. You could always run it in trial mode, which gives you, I forget what it is, 90 days or something like that. And then it goes into what they call their reduced functionality mode, which things are still working, but yeah, there are some limitations to what you can and can't do. But I think it's separate license key required now. Correct me if anybody knows for sure one way or the other. Tom mentioned that you can install many antivirus programs at the same time if you do not allow real-time monitoring and just for on-demand scans. Another thing you can do is go to any number of antivirus vendors that allow you to do a live on you know, go to the website and do a scan, an on-demand scan of your computer. And most of the major ones actually allow you to do that now.
Trend Micro is famous for that.
Yep. Yeah, Trend Micro is a good one for sure. Yeah.
Ottawa company.
Oh, is that? I did not know that. Oh,
interesting.
Okay. Stu mentions VirusTotal, reminds him of the old HerdProtect. That was a really cool product. It was actually they would basically take a signature of all of your installed programs, send that signature list to their website, and then scan or compare it against all of the against a number of antivirus engines, similar to what VirusTotal is doing, but it would basically do all the programs on your computer. It was live for a little while. The website is still there, and I think it's still saying, we will return to allow installation soon. And it's been saying that for like about 3 or 4 years.
So, yeah, it does. I checked it last week.
Yeah. It's too bad because it was a really cool idea about the way to do things. And, you know, I always wondered how anybody could do a virus scan of your computer with dozens or whatever antivirus products. And by doing it by taking a signature of all your files and then just sending that signature list to them, and, you know, they could actually pick up additional ones if there was ones that were not in their list. It could actually, you could optionally upload the actual program to them and have them actually scan it, and they would add it to their list then, that if anybody else had that particular program, they could say if it was clean or not. So that was cool. Does anybody have, Alan has a question, does anybody have experience in managing context menus and could you give a brief 10 to 15 minute presentation at Q&A? So that's an open one for anybody who has an idea of managing the context menus in Windows. I think I caught all the questions, but if there's anybody who had a question that I didn't cover off, by all means, either unmute yourself and ask it again or throw it again into the chat, and we'll cover it off. We're just past the 9 p.m., which is good timing. We can run over a little bit if we have any additional stuff. And I don't see anything coming in, so I'd like to wrap it up. So thanks very much to Serge Adik for a wonderful presentation. You got lots of kudos in the chat. From
thank
people
you,
who found the information very valuable. Really cool to have, like, not just one place, but a number of sites that you can actually go to and get legal software. So that was really, really great presentation. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Welcome.
Okay, and with that, I will call it an evening. So thanks very much for everybody for showing up for Serge Adik's presentation as well as the AGM. And hope to see lots of people at Q&A next Wednesday night. And then next general meeting will be the second Tuesday of March. So thanks for attending, folks. Have a good evening.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. I'm glad you're. I'm glad I did have your deck.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that was a really
just,
strange
just disappeared.
One.
Like click, disappear.
Yeah,
I noticed. I took out my sweater. I was starting to sweat there.
That was great.
What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, and I just thought as we were going through it, if I was going next, 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 and rather blindly, and then I thought, well, I've got your PDF as well, so that's why I had a break at one point while I was calling up your PDF so I could see the entire slide, and then I could sort of anticipate whether, you know, hitting next was going to jump to the next slide or just build the slide. So that worked well.
Everything was very smooth. You did very well. Thank you.
It worked great. So thanks again.
All right. I wish I had the cursor for a few things, but it was clear enough, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I tried a couple of places where you were mentioning things, but I think it was pretty good. And people have the deck, so they can go look at it, and they'll have the audio track as well, so they can follow along if they want. So that's great.
All right, then.
Okay.
See you next week.
Yes,
bye,
indeed.